Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omiika 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to my studio. And I see we have our guests in the audience. I want to say hello to our guests and greet them. So hold tight for a second. Caller number 713. Hello, caller number 713. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sister. How are you?
I'm just fine. And who do I have the pleasure of speaking to? Is this our guest?
This is Brother Sabir Omar Muhammad.
Oh, so this is our guest. Welcome, welcome. Hello.
Thank you. Hello.
Well, will you hold for 1 minute here, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. We're just going to do a little house cleaning. Just hold tight. We'll be right back at you. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is in the audience, and we're now going to open up our chat room. Our chat room will be open, and you can come into the chat room and chat if you prefer, and it will be open. And we're also sending out the signatures on the water so that Twitters will be notified that our chat room is open, as well as Facebook. And we also like to notify Facebook to let them know what's going on. And I noticed, you know, as you noticed last night, I completed a segment on Facebook in honor of Black History Month, so you can go out there and view that. We have Brother Sabir out in the wing waiting, Brother Sabir Muhammad. He is our speaker for this evening. And he is from the Midwest here in Indiana, from Gary, Indiana, by way of Tennessee. He'll be able to tell us a little bit more about his background and what he has done outside of the Midwest. I know him from here in this local area, and he works with a brother by the name of Benny Muhammad that I work with closely in a group working with the men and trying to make sure that we accelerate the process of helping the men here in this community. He is also a case manager working in children and family services, background in social services. And I thought I'd invite him on today to talk about what the responsibility of the man, the king in the community, what is his responsibility for his community, and what are some of the things we have to do as men to make sure that our communities are well secured. So Brother Sabi is well-equipped to talk about that topic. He's very astute in many different areas, and we're going to have him assist us as the expert in the room today. So if you'll just hold, we'll go to station identification, and we'll be right back in the air, because you know it is the power of faith that gives us the ability to do anything in this room. Get ready so we can go and send our signatures out on the water, and I hope you have your signatures for your family. It's the power of faith.
Every day, from the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our faith is strong, and we got to press on and on. This is African American History Month. I want to thank all of you for joining our show and fraternizing our room, and definitely for being my friend. Thank you for befriending us and following us, and also tweeting and giving us feedback. Thank you so very much. This is Black History Month, and we want to make sure that we center and focus in on topics that pertain to the family. And this particular topic, ladies and gentlemen, that we have prepared for you today is on the king. So if you are a king and you're out there in the audience, please do post that phone number up, 646-478-0270. We have a king in the audience today, one of our speakers and expert residents, and this is Mr. Sabir Muhammad that will be speaking to us today. And I'm going to ask Sabir if he doesn't mind assisting us as we go over to the talking cure room and we prepare to get ready to go before the throne of grace. And I'm going to get myself all cleaned up and making sure that I am purified. And then I'm going to ask Sabir if he would go with us and if he will give a prayer too while we're in that throne of grace. I'll go over right now so I can purify myself. And Sabir, we normally do this every day. It's a ritual that we do in honor of Africans, and this is what our ancestors did. And we'll just stand before the throne of grace, and I want to get purified, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Purification is in order. We're standing on holy ground. We offer up a libations to our Creator, to the African God that we know of as Akamare, also known as Oludulamare. We pour libations to Akamare. And we're sending these signatures out on the water. This is something we do because we know that the Africans periodically sent out their requests on the oceans and the rivers, and they were not returning into them void. They came back quickly and expediently, and we expect the same thing for our ancestors. We pour libation to our Yeye, which is our mother side of the spirit, Yamanja. We pour libation to our father side of the spirit, which is Obatala, and we say Ashe. And ladies and gentlemen, for the benefit of those who don't frequent this room often and need to know which African religion we are practicing, this is Yoruba religion. We are Yoruba-centered here in this room. However, we are not diverse from other religion. We are Islamic because we are one who also submits to the will of Allah. And we also pray. And we also Christian because we're solidified in Christ. And we're also African spiritualists because we believe in the ancestors. So, therefore, all is welcome here in this room. I pour libation now to the east, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. And finally, I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. Now, this is a time where you can call out your heroes and sheroes and also your personal ancestors. And we like to call on the name of Sheikh S. Diaz to be present as a witness today. We call on Malcolm X to be present as a witness today as his name goes out on the water. We also call on Dr. Carruthers, Doc Ben, John Henry Clark. We call on Nina Simone. We call on Martin Luther King and Sweet Coretta King. We call on Zora Neale Hurston. We call these ancestors' names to reconnect themselves back to the greater circle, and may they allow us to tap into their melanin. And call on your mothers and fathers' spirit, because you know that our children are rebirthed through our ancestors. And we know that now Whitney Houston is an ancestor, and don't be surprised if she circulates herself back through her children. And we call on these ancestors and ask them to allow us to sit and sup with them. And let the meditation of my mouth and the words of my mouth be acceptable, O Lord, in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on thee do we wait and on thee do we beseech for help. Guide us on the path of righteousness, not on the path of those who have gone astray. And, Father, as we pray, you said that we could command you. We could command you to watch over your word to perfect it. Now, Father, you said that we would be the head and not the tail. Now, watch over your word to perfect it, Father. You said that we would have good success and that we will prosper, so as our souls shall prosper. Allow us to prosper today, Father, and be in good faith. And we thank you and magnify you. And, Sabir, if you'd like to give a prayer, you're welcome to.
Thank you. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, guide us among those whom thou hast guided aright. Befriend us among those whom thou hast befriended. Preserve us among those whom thou hast preserved. And bless us in whatsoever thou dost grant us. Deliver us from the evil of what thou hast judged, for surely thou judgest, and none can judge against thee. And surely he whom thou befriendest is not disgraced. Blessed art thou, our Lord, and highly exalted be thee above what is said of beside thee. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sabir Muhammad. This is a brother that is from the Midwest by way of Tennessee, and he has had much experience working in social services as a caseworker, working with families, being very empathetic to the plight of our people, I might add. I'm going to ask him to give a little bit more of his background and some of the things that he aspires to do and some of the gifts that God has given him to explore in the community. And what does he think a man should be doing in the community? And what are some of the gifts that a king should exploit in the community to help other younger black men? If he can expound upon that, I certainly appreciate it.
Well, thank you, sister. Once again, I appreciate the opportunity to come on your show and to speak to your audience. And I pray that God will bless your audience with his peace and with his prosperity. Just to expound just a little bit more on my background, as you mentioned, I was born in Tennessee, born in Chattanooga, Tennessee, immigrated with my family to the north, to Chicago, at the age of 10. And lived in and around the Chicago area for a number of years. But I always say that when I went back to the South, I went back to Decatur, Alabama, which is my mother's home, that was where I really grew up. I was 14 at that time in 1961 and was just reaching the area of consciousness, becoming aware of my surroundings. And God blessed me to be in a place where, you kind of grow up pretty fast once you start becoming conscious of the environment which God has placed you in. And in that environment and in growing up pretty fast, doing that, what is called the civil rights era, I did experience the injustices of segregation, white supremacy, racism, all that kind of thing on fundamental levels. And as I said, because I was 14, I was just coming into that kind of knowledge and that kind of consciousness. An experience that I had, a couple of experiences, really served to grow me up. During that period of time, there was strategies that were employed by black people to call to the consciousness of the citizens of the United States and the world to the injustices being done to the black people, sit-ins and marches. Well, in this little area in Decatur, Alabama, there was one black man who would sit in at the Prescott's Find the Five and Dime store. He would march in front of that store and became an irritant to the powers that be. So the powers that be convinced this man's mother declared him to be insane and has him to be institutionalized. So he was put away. He was taken to the insane asylum. And of course, that kind of strategy is designed to put fear in the onlookers. It did the opposite with me and with my brother and with others of my peer group.
Now, let me ask you a question. So the mother went along with this to substantiate that her son was mentally off balance?
Yes, right.
Was she trying to avoid from him going into prison or something?
No, she was trying to avoid being killed. She was threatened, and the rest of her family was threatened. That if she didn't declare him and sign him over, then something would happen to her. Something would happen to her family. So it was at the point of threat that she went ahead and signed the papers. So that experience coming into that knowledge really propelled my growth into consciousness. And that caused my brother and I to declare that we're not going to go to the back of the bus. This is back when black people in the South had to move to the back of the bus. So this one particular day, we were getting on the bus, and we did not say to each other, this is the day that we're not going to go to the back. It was just a kind
now,
of
Now, Brother Sabir, now you know that the institution of the insane asylum is just another place called prison. You don't own yourself, and you're owned by the government. You're like a ward of the state.
Sure. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Did you want me to expound on that more, or did you want me to continue with this?
That's fine. Now, your experience, what happened to you? Now, here we're talking about Alabama. I'm familiar with Alabama, and for our listening audience, most of you are. So we knew the struggle to send our young black men away because for fear that they might get incarcerated, to send them away up north. What was the greatest fear that you had and what allowed you to come north, and were you able to march with those comrades who were in the civil rights movement?
Well, at that time, Sister Cheryl, to be perfectly honest, I was not smart enough to be afraid enough. I was angry. I became very angry at the conditions that I saw. Not really at that point in time, now this is the age of 14 and 15, not really having the depth of insight and knowledge of strategies to employ. I was just angry and defiant. Which gets me back to the bus incident when my brother and I decided that by a look that we gave to each other that we were not going to move to the back of the bus, and we paid our fare. We sat at the very front, and at one of the stops, an older white lady got on the bus, and without really noticing me, she started to sit down by me, and when she saw who it was, she jumped up and she went to the back of the bus. And the bus circulated throughout the black community, and we made sure that we let our friends see us, so that we could inspire them to.
Sabir, now what brought you to the north, and how did you end up in the north, leaving the south?
Well, my mother had first of all. My grandfather died. My mother's father died, which got us back to the South from Chicago. And then after about a year and a half, my brother and I, my mother had gone back to Chicago. My brother and I then came back up north. So it was just my mother and father at that time, we didn't know it, but they were separating. And so that caused us to have to stay in Decatur, and it was a blessing. Now I see it as a blessing for me. We had to stay in Decatur until my mother got back to Chicago, got back on her feet and sent for us. So
now, what kind of, excuse me for a second, what kind of movements were you involved in, and were you a part of any circular organization that met, like groups that were preventing the uprising of a lynching, or were there any particular organizations that you can remember working with that you lent your service to the community?
Not while I was in the South. Once I came back to the North, I was at the age of 16. I became involved with the Universal Negro Improvement Association under the guidance of the program of Martha Garvey.
So you were a Garveyite. Was your mother involved in Garveyism as well?
No, neither my mother or father. My father was, you know, unfortunately he was a little bit timid when it came to the question of rights for black people, and my mother was the submissive type, but I later found out that she was very, very strong in her beliefs in justice for the black people and for all people. So yes, I was a Garveyite, but and I was the only one really in my family who followed the tenets of the Universal Negro Improvement
Association. Now, what was it like being a Garveyite? What was some of the day-to-day requirements of a Garveyite, and what were the things that you had to do to carry out in order to maintain your membership?
Well, now I was 16, so I was a part of the youth corps. And we did a lot of community work. I was like a mentor. I was a chaperone at parties, while at the same time becoming, engulfed in the teachings, the programs, and the strategies employed by the Universal Negro Improvement Association, which was fundamentally self-improvement.
Now, would you say that those same disciplines have prepared you for what you had to do to maintain staying out of prison? Was it a foundation to make you a little bit more knowledgeable about your rights, and so therefore it prepared you for manhood?
Oh, absolutely. And again, being a teenager and being, coming under the natural influences of my peer group and associations and that kind of thing, that was the pull, that was the tug to go in a variety of directions. But the base that I got from being a part of the UNIA, the base that I got from my mother and my grandfather, my mother's father, who was what we would call a self-made man, and who in the South gained the respect of even white men because he built his own house, he had farmland, and he was prosperous in spite of the injustices. So those kinds of things stayed with me and allowed me to have a base to stand on. And even though I explored other activities that would not be characterized as being so good, I never went so far because I had this base. I had this foundation. I had a spiritual root that caused me to think again when I thought about doing something that I know that I shouldn't.
Now, you mentioned spiritual base. Which denomination were you and are you at this current time?
Well, I was baptized in the Christian faith as a Baptist at the age of 8. I think I was 8 years old. And I was active in the church for a number of years. Once I became more conscious, now this is my story, this is just my history. Once I became more conscious, I grew somewhat disenchanted with church leadership, particularly when they, in the South, when they would not challenge the powers that be. So I kind of drifted away from the church, and I felt that I had something against, you know, God. Again, this is my story. But I came to find out that I didn't have a problem with God. I had a problem with how we perceived God and then acted out on the principles that God gives us to live by. So I wanted to be involved in a more activist spiritual group, which brought me to the Nation of Islam and Donald B. Elijah Muhammad.
Now, on that note, brother, I'm going to invite you back because I know that there's another story in you. You have much to tell. And because we're on a limited time here, we're going to say goodbye to this audience, but I'm going to invite you back. Would you like to come back tomorrow and be our guest tomorrow to finish up part two?
I won't be able to do it tomorrow, Sister Cheryl, but I would like to accept another invitation. Tomorrow.
Okay.
Is,
will you tell me tomorrow? What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Thursday, right?
So tomorrow is Thursday. And I must say that during this period, it's going to be kind of tight. Because we're preparing
Let us know when you would like to come back and do part two. We do have a guest on Friday and possibly on a Saturday. If you would like to come back, that'll be fine. And you let me know, okay?
I sure will. And thank you again for inviting me on.
And